Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Estacio's conference call to discuss the first quarter of 2016 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.estaciopachispacos.com.br/IR, together with the representative presentation and the earnings release. We would like to inform that the company's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. We will then begin the Q&A session, when further instructions will be given. In any case, if you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star, then zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Ruggiero Melzi, CEO. Please, Mr. Ruggiero, you may proceed.
Well, thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference call to discuss our results for the first quarter of 2016. Next to me are our recently announced CFO, Pedro Thompson, our Director of Services, Virgilio Gibbon, and our IR manager, Flavio Oliveira, who will help me with the presentation of our results. We will have a Q&A session just as soon as the presentation is over. So let's go straight to slide number 2 of our presentation, which is also available on our website, where we will talk about the first intake cycle for 2016. After the 2 years of the intense turnaround process organized by GP and the new executive board back in 2008, in the second semester of 2010, for the first time, Estacio student intake resumed growth over the prior year. It is worth remembering that FIES did not exist at the time, and although Brazil was living a relatively euphoric moment in the last year of ex-president Lula's administration, the world was facing a crisis of epic proportions. But even so, Estacio grew. From then until now, much has changed. We had the elections of 2010, the arrival of Dilma Rousseff, the new FIES, the launch of Pronatec, the FIES explosion in 2014, followed by its implosion in 2015, the massive economic crisis that has engulfed the country, and more recently, the impeachment process in the Congress, with all the volatility that this brings to any democratic regime. But one thing has not changed. Since 2010, Estacio's intake has grown every semester, with no interruptions, in both the on-campus and the distance learning segments. Throughout this period, the company and its shareholders occasionally experienced slower growth than some of their competitors. They also experienced a more moderate adoption of FIES and Pronatec, accompanied by a strategy based on intense organic growth, margin gains, small and medium-sized acquisitions, and the parallel creation of a division entirely dedicated to new business and to the diversification of activities, often in exchange of more intense M&A maneuvers or capital allocation decisions. But we did see growth every semester. And, much to our joy, and the joy of all those who believe in long-term vision, disciplined execution, patience to build a long-lasting company, journeys without shortcuts, and the construction of solid corporate fundamentals, we are once again seeing on-campus and distance learning intake growth, despite the worsening of the crisis and the ever-diminishing FIES numbers. Our on-campus intake growth of around 2% was modest compared to previous periods, but we were once again in positive territory, compensating with EASY, a decrease of 12,600 new students with FIES, which represents a reduction of more than 13 percentage points in the total proportion of entrants. Our distance learning intake grew by a hefty 22%, thanks to the maturation of the integration of the UNICEF centers, the sales management improvements implemented throughout last year, the launch of a special campaign with former number one tennis player Gustavo Kuerten, the strengthening of marketing in São Paulo, the increase in the number of centers since the end of 2015, and product diversification. Thanks to the intake growth I have just presented, and given that even during the crisis, we decided to maintain the strategy of acquiring small and medium-sized institutions with 3 such acquisitions in recent months, FNC in Carapicuíba, FECAT in Castanhal, and FUFIS in Feira de Santana, our total student base increased by 11.4%, once again, double-digit growth in the midst of a crisis of epic proportions. As a result, revenue increased by almost 10% over the same quarter last year, despite a loss of nearly 13.5 million reais in the Pronatec line due to the substantial reduction in the program throughout 2015. Discounts, scholarships, and campaigns climbed by 2.6 percentage points in the same period, which, combined with the mix effect, generated an average increase of only 3% in the on-campus ticket and 2% in the distance learning ticket. Lower the inflation, but is still positive and totally in line with our cost, volume, and profit strategy. We also saw an increase of around 2 percentage points in the on-campus dropout line versus a 1 percentage point improvement in the distance learning dropout rate due to the non-renewal of students who were unable to contract FIES in 2015. However, we believe the quality of the student base in 2016, when there were no more false expectations regarding FIES, should improve from now on. At this point, it is worth noting the growing contribution of the graduate segment, both on campus and distance learning, which is still in the intake process as the entry schedule is timed to avoid competing with the undergrad segment. All in all, however, the grad base grew by almost 25% over the previous year, despite the adversities we are all aware of. It is also worth drawing attention to the growing contribution of the new business area, the result of a strategic decision made back in 2012, and also the result of substantial discipline in continuing to invest in the segment, even in difficult times. This area, which virtually did not exist back in 2012, was responsible for nearly 6% of the company's net revenue in the first quarter of 2016, and continues with innovative projects to further expand this contribution in the coming cycles. Given all this, adjusted EBITDA came to 213.9 million reais in first Q16, 9% up on the previous year. On the positive side, we recorded an excellent result in the G&A expenses line, with an increase of only 2% in nominal terms. On the other hand, we did not demonstrate the same efficiency in the personal, advertising, and PDA lines, causing our EBITDA margin to remain virtually flat over the last year. As I will mention at the end of this presentation, though, these costs and expenses had certain non-recurring and seasonal characteristics, allowing us to dream of a significant improvement in our 2016 results, or, even better, allowing us to dream of yet another significant improvement in 2016, as we have seen on a regular basis since 2010. After all, some things do not change. I will now turn you over to Flavio Oliveira, our IR manager, and our CFO, Virgilio Gibbon, who will provide more details on our operating cash operating results. At the end of the presentation, I will come back for my closing remarks.
Thank you, Melzi. Good morning, everyone. Moving on to slide number 4, where we talk about our operating performance. In the first chart, we show the student base figures for the first quarter 16. We ended the quarter with 587.8 thousand students, 11.4% more than last year. 410.7 thousand of whom enrolled in the on-campus programs, and 164.2 thousand in the distance learning program, as well as 12.9 thousand students from the acquisitions in the last 12 months. Under the same SHOP concept, our total student base presented organic growth of 9%. The distance learning undergraduate base increased by 14.8% over the first quarter 15, totally 32.1 thousand students, mainly due to the substantial 22.1% upturn in the distance learning intake, as Mel has already mentioned, as well as the 1.1 percentage point increase in the retention rate, which represented 83.3% of the renewable base. In the chart on the right, you can see that the net operating revenue moved up by 9.8% over first quarter 15 to 792.9 million, reflecting the growth of our student base and the 2.3% upturn in the average on-campus ticket, and as well the 0.9% increase in the average distance learning ticket. Looking at the average on-campus undergraduate ticket only, the positive variation was 3.1%, below inflation, chiefly due to the change in the course mix, the decline in the number of subjects taken during the semester, and the higher level of discounts and scholarships granted. Considering the average monthly distance learning undergraduate ticket only, there was a 2% increase over the first quarter 15. Moving on to slide 5, where you can see a vertical analysis of our operating costs and expenses, the cash costs as a percentage of net revenue ratio improved by 0.6 percentage points over the fourth quarter 15, primarily due to the textbook materials and rental lines. The other lines remained relatively flat, mainly due to the anticipation of the process of class formation, with an impacted faculty costs in comparison with the same period last year. The selling expenses line represented 11.4% over net operating revenue, with a 4 percentage point loss in the margin over the first quarter 15 due to the high investments in advertising and the upturn in PDA. The advertising line continued to be impacted by the one-off effects that affected the fourth quarter 15, reaching 8.3% of net operating revenue, well above our historical average. The factors that continued impacting the first quarter 16 advertising line included the launch of a specific distance learning campaign designed to reinforce the perception of a truly national brand, which began to have a more significant effect on attracting new students to the segment. The intake campaign designed to increase enrollment during the adverse economic scenario, especially in São Paulo, where Estácio's brand is gaining increasing ground, and the Rio 2016 Olympic Games campaign. Advertising expenses should return to their previous levels in 2016. We expect expenses to be more heavily concentrated in the first semester, being subsequently offset in the second. The PDA net revenue ratio recorded a loss of 0.9 percentage points due to the higher delinquency and a lower proportion of students with FIES contracts. General and administrative expense corresponded to 11.9% of net operating revenue in the quarter, a 0.9 percentage point improvement over first Q15, mainly due to the 0.5 percentage point gain in the third-party services. I will now hand you over to Virgilio Gibbon, who will present details of the adjusted EBITDA calculation.
Thank you, Flavia. Good morning, everyone. Let's move now to slide number 6, which shows our operating performance by segment. As of this quarter, we'll be presenting the operating performance of its Estácio's business segment. The on-campus undergrad segment presents an operating margin of 41.8%, representing 85% of the consolidated results. The distance learning's undergrad segment achieved an operating margin of 52.5%, representing 11.5% of the consolidated results. And continuous education segment achieving an operating margin of 25%, representing 3.5% of the total results. As of the previous quarter, we have been presenting our results adjusted by revenue from fines and interest related to overdue tuition, the inflation of FIES accounts receivable, and discount granted in negotiations of overdue tuition. Thus, Estácio's adjusted EBITDA, which can be seen on slide number 7, totaled 213 $1.4 million reais in the first quarter of 2016, an increase of 9% over the previous year. The adjusted EBITDA margin reached 26.9%, down 0.2 percentage points compared to the first quarter margin of 2015, mainly due to the increase in selling expenses already mentioned above. On slide 8, we present our accounts receivable. Our net accounts receivable period, including FIES receivables and FIES revenues, reached 174 days, an increase of 67 days over the first quarter of 2015, impacted by the new FIES transfers and buyback schedule in effect in 2015. Excluding FIES net revenue and FIES receivables, the average receivables period was 96 days. The increase of 7 days over the first quarter of 2015 was due to the lower proportion of freshman students with FIES contracts and the worsening of the macroeconomic scenario. As you can see now on slide 9, FIES accounts receivable totaled 1 billion reais, 329.3 million reais more than the last quarter of 2015, due to the FIES transfers and buyback schedule during the first semester of 2016. As a result, the average FIES receivables term stood at 276 days in the first quarter of this year, an increase of 142 days over the same period last year. Consequently, of the 350.7 million reais in total FIES revs in the first quarter of this year, Estácio received transfers from Ministry of Education totaling 16.9 million reais related to January, February, and March of 2016. Slide 10 shows our operating cash flow. We recorded negative operating cash flow of 86.5 million reais in the first quarter of 2016, due to the increase in accounts receivable, which do not offset the low volumes of FIES transfers and buybacks during this quarter. It's worth to mention that in the second quarter, we have already received 380 million reais from FIES, following precisely the schedule announced in the beginning of this year, what will result, as expected, in a positive cash flow generation by the end of this first semester of 2016. I will now hand you back to Melzi for his consideration and closing remarks.
Well, thank you, Virgilio. So, slide 11 brings me to my closing remarks. Based on the company's history in the last years, the fact that we were able to increase our student base by 11.4% over the same period in 2015 should be enough in itself for us to expect a healthy result in 2016. However, there are other points that deserve greater attention, which may result in an excellent performance this year, despite all the turbulence our country has been facing, which include an intake in the second semester more comparable to the previous year in terms of FIES vacancies for entrants, reducing the impact of campaigns, discounts, and promotions for students who did not enter in the program. Also, in this quarter, we had a significant effect of Pronatec in 2015, which presented a revenue 13.5 million higher than in 2016. However, we know that these effects will be mitigated during the year, as the Pronatec contribution will reduce throughout the year 2015, leading to more favorable comps in 2016. A substantial reduction in the ratio of advertising expenses over net revenue in the second semester, which should converge towards the same level observed in 2015. It is worth noting that in the first quarter, the decisions commented earlier caused a margin loss of 3 percentage points in comparison with the previous year, so that if the argument of stabilization in comparison with 2015 is valid, we can say that in the first quarter, we should have seen an expansion of 3 percentage points in the margin. Similarly, our PDA has been severely impacted by the recognition of provisions related to a group of students admitted in 2015 who counted on obtaining FIES financing, which, as a result of the substantial reduction in the volume of the program throughout the year, did not occur. Despite the company's intense efforts to offer these students an alternative, some of them opted not to continue. In 2016, however, new students entering the admission process had much lower expectations regarding FIES, allowing us to assume that the quality of the student base is higher, from the financial point of view, than the one last year. On the other hand, given rising unemployment and the disappointment of the population, we are aware that default is still one of our biggest challenges in 2016. On the cost side, As already mentioned, our strategy to form the 2016 student base was based on more robust investments and on the anticipation of the entire process. We believed it was necessary to take such measures in the understanding that the deterioration in the economic scenario could make the conversion process more difficult over time. We therefore sought to accelerate the class formation process to the maximum, since it is necessary to conclude this step before the final student enrollment process. Consequently, we ended up anticipating a portion of faculty costs that would normally be recorded only in April, retroactively, upon confirmation of the last classes. In this context, the benefits from the measures to ensure continuing margin gains in personnel costs should become increasingly apparent in the coming quarters. Finally, it is always wise to remember that since the beginning of the crisis, and over the three semesters since then, intake, dropout, ticket increase, revenue growth, cash generation, and margin gain comparisons have always been negatively affected by comparability distortions. After all, comparing a 2015 marked by economic crisis and FIES restrictions with an exceptionally healthy 2014 and record FIES, as well as comparing the first semester of 2016 with the same period in 2015, when there was still a good deal of positive expectations regarding FIES, and when the crisis had not yet affected the real side of the economy, could lead to substantial errors of judgment, especially if these comparisons are used for future projections. In the second semester of 2016, however, for the first time, we will be able to understand the effects of the crisis and the FIES restrictions in a more precise manner, since we will be comparing similar periods in terms of outside factors. It is also worth emphasizing that we have not, for one instant, halted our new business development processes or M&A activities. On the contrary, the pipelines on both fronts have never been so full, and our teams have never been so motivated to add value through these initiatives. Moving on to the last slide of the presentation, in addition to the more operational topics addressed in the previous slide, it is also worth noting the evolution of a series of points affecting our company's cash. Beginning with the settlement of the financing line contracted at the beginning of 2015 from Itaú in order to provide a financial cushion, given the education sector uncertainties at the time, especially regarding the flow of FIES payments. As the year went on, with the stabilization of the company's cash and the subsequent regularization of FIES payments in the second semester, we decided to settle this line and, in parallel, to enter into a new agreement with the IFC, giving us the option to contract $100 million in the coming cycles. In addition to the fact that this line has a payment term of 8 years, which may relieve our cash and improve our duration if necessary, we decided not to make use of this facility for now to avoid incurring the corresponding financial expenses. At the same time, we were more cautious with CapEx at the beginning of the year, while we awaited a clear review of the formation of our student base and the behavior of FIES payment flows. FIES, in turn, has behaved as expected. Amendment processes moved ahead normally, with none of the problems experienced in 2015. At the beginning of the year, we signed an agreement with the FNDE, Ministry of Education, and the Office of the General Counsel to the Federal Government, AGU, establishing the payment conditions for the installments due in 2015 and reinforcing important issues such as equal treatment for all sector players. In accordance with the agreement, the FNDE has already sent an analytical list containing all the details of the installments due in 2015, which showed more than 99% compliance with our internal controls. It is worth noting that the discussion of the non-compliant portion will not prevent the scheduling of undisputed amounts, in accordance with the agreement entered into between the parties. Consequently, we expect to receive the payment of the first 25% of overdue balances by the end of June. Until now, all transfer and buyback activities defined by the calendar published at the beginning of the year have been fully complied with, so that the Ministry of Education, through the FNDE, has been meeting all the obligations and commitments assumed with the sector in an exemplary manner. In other words, despite all the prevailing difficulties, the facts mentioned above, together with the stabilization of our operations at the close of 2015, may well result in a level of operating cash flow never seen in any of the 46 years of Estácio's history. It is also worth highlighting several corporate events that have strengthened our organization's long-term commitment to our shareholders and the continuity of the winning strategies adopted until now, namely, the proposal of a single slate for the board of directors put together by the board elected back in 2014, and the lack of requests for a cumulative vote or the presentation of competing slates. The election of the proposed slate with a substantial number of votes. The maintenance of five of the previous members, João Cox, Maurício Luquete, Shain Zayer, Tamila Zayer, and Maria Helena Guimarães. The election of four new independent members, Amaury Olsen, Líbano Barroso, Osvaldo Schirmer, and Jackson Schneider, all of whom quite recognized and highly successful professionals with total autonomy, who, to our joy, accepted joining our board to further enrich the work of the previous group. The election of João Cox and Maurício Luquete, the two veteran members of Estácio's board, as chairman and vice chairman, respectively, for a 2-year term. The maintenance of the previously established committee structure, including the academic, the people management and governance, and the audit and finance committees. The election by the new board of directors of Estácio's board of executive officers, also for a 2-year term of office. Well, after all these relevant steps, last night we announced a change in the composition of our executive team. Our current CFO and IR officer, Mr. Virgilio Gibbon, who has been a great partner in this process of communication with the financial markets, will, from now on, dedicate to the organization of a new area totally focused on providing services to Estácio's business units. We believe that the implementation of this area is absolutely key to the fulfillment of our Vision 2020, which requires an accelerated organic and inorganic growth, an increase in our national coverage and also on the number of learning centers, a greater capacity to integrate new assets, the building of concrete competitive advantages in service levels to our publics, and the preparation of the company to migrate to a multi-business structure, providing several services under the education umbrella. To replace Mr. Gibbon as CFO and IR officer, the board chose Mr. Pedro Thompson, a professional with more than 13 years of experience in corporate finance, particularly in private equity and financial markets. Pedro was an executive director at PDG and a director in the private equity area of BTG Pactual, where he was also CFO of one of the fund's invested companies, the retailer Leader. Over the next weeks, Pedro will have the opportunity to interact with the financial markets. For now, I'll ask him to say a few words to get with you all.
Thank you, Melzi. Good morning. I would like to explain you three reasons that attracted me to the Estácio's project. The first one is the recent history of Estácio, which began in 2008 and today is one of the most successful business cases in Brazil. Second is the size and scale of Estácio. The company is present in 23 Brazilian states, represented by 93 campuses and 190 distance learning units, with 590,000 students. The last one is the Estácio's culture. Much of my professional career was in an investment bank, driven by a meritocratic culture, and here in Estácio's meritocracy is the main driver of internal culture. Finalizing my speech, I would like to use a quote from Warren Buffett, that you need to have passion in your job, and I will follow carefully this as Estácio's CFO. Have a good day, and I hope to see you soon. I will now hand you back to Melzi.
Well, thank you, Pedro. At the same time, I wish the best to Pedro. I'd like to make a public recognition to Virgilio, who during his 4 years as CFO have contributed in quite a decisive way to the success of our company, including our growth during these very arid moments. I also wish him luck in his new challenge, as he now will have the mission to raise our company's level in a significant way towards our Vision 2020. We are fully aware that a company so firmly focused on the long term, on its mission, on its commitment to all its stakeholders, and on the generation of substantial value for its investors, may benefit greatly from the stability provided by the process we have just come through, as well as from the extremely high level of governance that all of us can expect from such a select group of board members and executive officers. That brings me to the end of our presentation, so we can move on to the Q&A session. Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing star then two. Again, that is star then one to ask a question. And our first question comes from Rodrigo Gastem of BTG Pactual. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Morning, everyone. Two questions from my side today. The first one is related to this new disclosure of operational metrics per business. We'll definitely be able to start comparing results from now on, but I would like to know if you could share with us more details on how the operating margins of both on-site and distance learning segments behaved already in this first Q when compared to last year. And the second question regards the announced change in the management team. I just would like to get more details on what should change from now on under a strategic and operational standpoint. That's pretty much it. Thank you.
Hi, Rodrigo. And your first question about the operating performance by segment. We don't have many figures to compare because we change a lot the way we recognize between cooperative and business unit during 2015. So we changed all this distribution. But having the same comparison, the same data together, we are both leveraging distance learning also on campus operation year over year, something close to 1 to 2 percentage points. And when you are reducing all the cooperative and overhead areas, including the commercial expenses that we grew during this first quarter of 2016, we go to the final numbers that we have right now. So, yes, we improve our margins in our contribution margin in on-campus operation this first quarter and also in the distance learning the second quarter, more than compensating the PDA levels even in the distance learning when you compare to the second first quarter of 2015.
And as for your second question, the truth is that nothing changes. I think it's a natural evolution. When we think of this new area, this services area, it is something that we already had in the past, and then at some point we joined with the CFO under the CFO responsibility. But it is something that had been in my mind for almost a year and a half. Even before this crisis, I had been thinking about getting back to this services area, because I think it's absolutely key that a company that intends to keep growing, even during these bad times, these hard times, a company that will consolidate, that will make acquisitions, therefore needs to integrate a lot, a company that is all about service at the end of the day, a company that needs to learn and to improve the way we are servicing our internal public so that this internal public can service even better our external public, our clients, our students, a company that wants to be a multi-business company, which by definition has an implication of developing new ways of delivering our content, distributing our products and so forth. So we need to focus a lot on this services strategy. And when I look inside at my team, I saw that Virgilio was by far the best option we had, because Virgilio has a huge background on services processes, as he used to be a partner, a consultant in Totus Consulting here in Brazil. As for the CFO side, I think Pedro will add a lot to us, for the main reason that Pedro has been doing that for his entire career. And this is different from Virgilio and from myself. I was the previous CFO. I think we did, the best we could. But at the end of the day, it's not our, core skill. So Pedro is going to bring this, a set of skills. I think he can, for example, add a lot to our efforts to improve our receivables, our collection, our, credit score here in Estácio, as it brings a lot of expertise from his time in the retail industry. And I think because Pedro will not be, concerned with this part of the business, I mean, technology and services, Virgilio will be taking care of that. Chances are that Pedro will have much more time to look, for example, at, the relationship with investors. So chances are that he will spend more time with you, talking to you, helping you to understand the business. Chances are that he will have more time to help me to think about, the future strategies for Estácio. So I'm truly confident that it is the right move you know, to make. It's not going to change, but I think it is, again, a natural evolution for our business.
Yeah, that's excellent. Thanks, Melvin. Thanks, Virgilio.
Thank you, Rodrigo.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. And once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Bruno Giordano of Santander. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Just a quick follow-up from the FIES thing. Today was the day then the companies were expected to receive the pass-through of May related to April on the FIES receivables. You mentioned a volume of 222 million reais. Is this 100% of volume we were expecting for this month?
Bruno, hi. It's actually a bit above, so it is 100%. So we are pretty happy with that. We think it was a great sign from the Ministry of Education. Actually, the expectation was for today. They did that last night, indicating that they are pretty serious about what they're doing. Yeah, you want to add something?
Yeah, just adding, why is it a little bit above, Bruno? Because we're always considering which would be the day that the Minister of Education will read all the contracts that they have already confirmed in April. So we consider every month, we consider something between day 20 and 25th of each month. And depending on the day that they confirm the reading, the transfer will be higher or lower what we are expecting. So from what we expect, so we expect something close to 200 million, and we are receiving 222 during May right now.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bruno.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. We have a follow-up from Rodrigo Gastim of BTG Pactual.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. If I may, I just would like to know what are your capital allocation plans going forward? I mean, with this mid to small-sized players eventually struggling with this economic downturn, I believe that the consolidation is, again, one of the most important drivers of growth in the sector. So I just would like to you to share your thoughts with us on future M&A activities, and also if you intend to increase eventual payouts or make some, like, buyback programs. In other words, what to do with the cash, right? Thanks very much for my – that's my last question. Thanks.
Well, thank you for your question. It's quite an important question because this is the kind of problem everybody wants to face, right? What to do with cash, especially after a year like we had in 2015. But it is true. It is happening. It is something we somehow expected, and we are happy to confirm that this is just about to happen. Yes, there are these two possibilities. M&A is one. We've been doing M&A in a very, I would say, intense way. Lots of things in our pipeline. But the truth is that if we keep going with these small and medium-sized acquisitions, and again, by medium-sized acquisitions, they not necessarily are small in terms of capital needs. But the way we've been negotiating these potential acquisitions is to split these payments into installments, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever is possible. And if this continues, the truth is that it's not going to consume a lot of cash in the next years. Obviously, this changes if we have a more sizable opportunity, especially if this opportunity doesn't take in account the possibility of using, you know, our own shares, which, by the way, with this current level, it will be really difficult for us to do anyhow. So unless there is a more sizable acquisition, the truth is that we are going to have a lot of excess of cash in our hands, which brings us to payout. I think payout is a very real possibility we are going to face from now on. And when we look at the possibilities, you know, that we have in our hands, when you consider the level of valuation Estácio is trading right now, which is absolutely, in our view at least, not related to the things we see here inside the company, payout is likely to be the best option we have in our hands. Obviously, we need to bring this to our board. We already have a program. It is, you know, up and running. We can obviously work in that program. But if we want to go further, if we want to go ahead or beyond that, actually, we need a further authorization, which I think the board will take into account in a very careful way. So, yes, the answer is that we are going to take this as one of the best possibilities in our hands.
Yeah, that's very clear. Thanks very much, Melvin.
Thank you for your question.
And since there seems to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Ruggiero Melzi for his final remarks.
Well, I would like to thank you all for taking part in our first quarter call. Just like to emphasize that we remain confident in our capacity to generate significant results even in difficult times, thanks to everything we built during those years when the scenario favored the education segment. I'd also like to emphasize that in these hard times, well-prepared companies shall be able to show the results of their work in a more effective way. In our case, that means keeping marching steadily our 20 miles year after year. Our team department is always available for further questions. I hope to see you soon or in our next call. Thank you and have a good day.
And this concludes Estacio's conference call. You may disconnect and have a good day.